Now we're holding on Bay's Armored Bay's four lines from the bottom. Morning, Ellie. Bay's Armored Bay's four lines from the bottom. We're in the middle of talking about how the Mishnah had told us that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim, meaning that we count kings' years instead of just counting them from whenever the king ascended the throne. We count the years from a defined date, namely Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And we're trying to figure out, and we said the reason for that is because we need to know about Shtaros. So we started discussing how we know that date is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So we said, because the Pasuk describes when they started building the Beis HaMikdash, it mentions the year according to Yetzias Mitzrayim, it was the 480th year. It mentions the year of Shlomo's reign, the fourth year. And therefore we learn that both of those are counted from Nisan, which now moves the question back one, because now the question is how we know that years of Yetzias Mitzrayim are counted from Nisan. Maybe they're counted from Tishrei. So we said that no, because it says that Aaron passed away in the 40th year from Yetzias Mitzrayim. Later on, it says that Moshe began speaking the speeches of Sefer Dvarim in Chodesh Shvat, also in the year 40. So if Av is in the 40th year and Shvat is in the 40th year, it has, and it was later, then it can't be that Rosh Hashanah is Tishrei, because then it would have rolled over to year 41. So the Gemara asks, when we made the Av Kodim, how do we know that the episode in Av that Aaron passed away came first? Dilma Maisi the Shvat Kodim. Maybe the episode in Shvat came first. Maybe, in other words, again, in Mukdam Ochabat Torah, Moshe is starting to speak Sefer Dvarim in Shvat. Then 6 months later, in the middle, while he's doing it, Aaron passes away, and then he continues. So the answer was morning. The answer was Lois Sakadaitach. You can't think that it's that way. It has to be that Aaron passed away before Moshe began Sefer Dvarim. Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says at the beginning of Dvarim, when did Moshe speak these speeches? Achri HaKosei Es Sichon, after he had struck and killed Sichon and Og, v'chinoch nafshi de Aaron akati have a Sichon kayin. Now, when Aaron passed away, Sichon was still alive. And we know that. Dichtiv, we know that from the following psukim. And we're going to analyze it and we're going to see. Now, on a Poshita sense, we know it anyway, because the Pasuk says Aaron passed away on Hor HaHor, by the border of Eretz Edom. Later on, only then they go around Eretz Edom, because Edom refused to allow them to go through. Then they go around Eretz Moav for the same reason, and then they wind up north of Moav, and they wind up in the territory of Sichon, and then they conquer him. So even just from the Pshat of the Psukim, we see that Sichon is still around when Aaron passed away, but the Gemara wants a more solid proof of it. After all, we have, during the years that they were in the Midbar, they backtracked sometimes. You have, for example, Vatim Pnu Lachem. So conceivably, you could have had, if it weren't for the proofs that we're going to bring now, you could have had that they went north and defeated Sichon, and then they ended up turning back south and being in Hor HaHor. So now, so the Gemara is going to prove as follows. The Pasuk says, after Aaron passes away, Vayishma HaKnani Melech Arad, the Knani, the king of Arad, heard. So Mashmua Shoma, what did he hear that made him come and attack the Jewish people? Shoma Shemes Aaron, he heard that Aaron had passed away, Minestalku Anane covered, that the Anane covered had gone away because they were there to begin with in Aaron's course. Okasavu Nitna Roshosli Lochem Yisrael. So he thought that means that he's been given permission, Minashamayim, to fight against the Jewish people. Now this is Haknani Melech Arad. We're going to see in a second how that relates to Sichon. In fact, Tosfos brings from a Medrash, Rashi mentions it on the Pasuk, that these were actually people of Amalek. They dressed themselves, not dressed, they pretended to be Knanim from Arad, in order that when the Jewish people daven to defeat them, they're going to be davening for the wrong people. They're going to be saying, please save us from the Knanim. And really, these guys are Amalekim. So Rashi goes on to mention that the Jewish people weren't sure what nation they're from, because they're speaking one language, but they're dressed a different way. And they said, please just help us defeat this nation. Without specifying the name of the nation, and sure enough, they didn't defeat them. So in that case, how does that fit with the Gemara is going to say over here that this Knani Melech Arad is Sichon and his army? Tosfos says, okay, but if Sichon had already been defeated and killed at that point, then the Amalekim are not going to dress up as them. because they're going to the Jewish people are going to know, what do you mean? These guys are coming over the, this is Sichon's army coming to attack us. We already defeated them. So obviously it must be that Sichon himself is still around. So this fits with what it says in the Pasuk, right? When it says after Aaron passed away, the simple meaning of the Pasuk is all the Edo, all the congregation saw that Aaron had passed away. The problem with that is, what do you mean all of them saw? He passed away on the top of Hur. Only Moshe and Elazar were there. So everybody else didn't see him. Okay, Rashi mentions on the Pasuk that they saw Moshe showed them an image of Aaron's coffin floating in Shemayim, and then they saw, but still the Gemara doesn't like that and wants to have something in the more simple sense that you could say that that affected everybody. So what is that? Don't read vayiru and they saw, but vayiru and they were seen. In other words, up until this point, they're protected by the Anani HaKavod. So nobody can look in on them because they're surrounded by Anani HaKavod on all sides. Now that Aaron passed away, vayiru kol ha'eda, the entire congregation was seen because now the Anani HaKavod left. Later on, it says that they came back in this course of Moshe Rabbeinu. But in any case, for a period of time, they left. And now that was when this Kaknani Melech Harod figured to take advantage of it and to go and attack them. in fact, Tosfos points out, you have twice in the Torah when it tells the story. It tells it in Parshas Chukas, right after Aaron passes away. And it mentions it again in Parshas Maaseh, when it's listing the 42 Masoids, it mentions that Aaron went up to Tahor and passed away. And then it says, Vayishma Knani Melech Harod. So Tosfos argues that the Gemara is mainly basing itself on the second one. Because at least in the first one, in Parshas Chukas, you could say, it says over there what he heard. Ki bo Yisrael darach ha'asarim, that the Jewish people are coming by the way of Asarim. And then he attacked them. In Parshas Maaseh, it doesn't say anything whatsoever that he heard. It just says, Vayishma Knani Melech Harod, he heard that the Jewish people are coming. So therefore, the Gemara is understanding from that he heard of something, he heard of some new development, which is not explicitly said in the Pesukim, but which we're learning from back what it says in Parshas Chukas, that they were exposed, that the Anani HaKavod went away. There are different other explanations. In fact, Rashi on the Pesukim, so Tosfos says, Rashi was not medayik in the Pirush of Chumash, because Rashi in on Chumash implies that we learn this from the Pesukim in Parshas Chukas. So Marsha, another Mephoshim, say, actually, it's not so inaccurate of Rashi. When it says, Ki bo Yisrael darach ha'asarim, one meaning of ha'asarim is that they're coming by way of the way that the Anani HaKavod are clearing for them. So now he realizes this went away. They don't have the Anani HaKavod anymore. Therefore, I can attack them. So Kidur Ishlokish. Now, so then, if we say that, if we darshan the word vayeru, and they were seen, then we understand the word ki, we have to understand it like what Shlokish says. The Amr Shlokish ki mishamash bedalad l'shoinus. The word ki in Chumash and in the rest of Tanakh can be used for any of four meanings. E, if, dilma, perhaps, ella, however, and daha, because. So in other words, when we learn the Pasuk in Pshat, The key over here means that. So Rashi explains that daha can mean because or that. So Rashi explains that Rashi gives examples of each of these four, and he explains that each of them has sub-meanings as well. For example, when we say that key can mean if, within if itself, you can have that can mean if as in something that may or may not happen, or when meaning something that's going to happen. But in other words, the word im itself in Lashon Kodesh, which actually means if, sometimes means something that's going to happen, like im kesef talves ami, and im takrev minchas bikorim. You have three examples like that in the Chumash. So for example, Rashi explains, sometimes you have a key that means if, for example, ki yiyalem davar, if they have a case, then they bring it to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ki yikorei kein, if you see a nest, then you do the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan, etc. And then you have a sub-meaning of that, so the Shlokish is not counting it as a completely separate meaning. A sub-meaning would be when. For example, when it says, Ki Savoyu Ala Oret. It's not if you come into Eretz Yisrael. Of course you're going to come in. It means when you come into Eretz Yisrael. But if and when are very closely related. So you have one of those. Then you have that E. Dilma is perhaps, which means something that is not even necessarily going to happen at all. Only if you do this, then such and such. An example of that is the Torah tells us in Parshas Ekev, "Ki soma vilvavcha." If you're going to say in your heart, these nations are so powerful, how am I going to defeat them? Then, if you think that, don't be afraid, because you should realize Hashem is on our side. So it's not when you think that. It's not if you think that. It's perhaps. Maybe you might think that. You should be aware. There's nothing to be afraid of. So that's the second one. The third one is Ella, which means but, not this key that. For example, Loitzachakti ki. No, that one is the fourth one. Jaha. The third one, Ella, is however. So not this. Not this key that. So actually, you have both examples in one pasuk. You have one in Parshas Va'era, when you have the Sarah laughed when she heard the news that she's going to have a baby. Sarah denied it. Ki yoreya, because that's the fourth one. Daha, because she was afraid. By Yomer, and he said loy ki tzachok. No, rather you laughed. That rather is Ella, but. No, it's not true. It's not true that you're saying you didn't laugh, but rather you really did laugh. So those are the. No, also in the rest of Tanakh, also some of the examples Rashi gives are from other places. You have a couple of Rashi's examples are from Sefer Iyo, for example. I guess not after, yeah, in the time of the Mishnah and Gemara, we don't really find key being used in all these senses. What Reish Lakish is telling us is that that among the meanings of key are that or because, are that or because. So in other words, we understand the pasuk kind of pshat level, all the Jewish people saw that Aaron had passed away. Now Reish Lakish is telling us there's another nuance you can understand. All of them were uncovered by Yeru'u. They were all visible because Aaron passed away, and therefore, since then, Anani covered, were there in his source, so now they went away, and now they're exposed. So therefore, so putting all this together, in other words, what we're saying is that Aaron passed away, the Anani covered went away, then it's Knani, Melech Harod, who we're going to say in a second, is identical with Sichon, or at least as Tosfos is saying, they dressed up as Sichon and his army, they came and attacked the Jewish people. So the Gemara says, "Me dummy, how is it the same thing? Hosam Knan Hocha Sichon." Over there it's a Knani Melech Harod. Here you're talking about Sichon. How does that show that Sichon was still alive at the time? The answer is Tana. We learn in the Braisa, it's actually all the same. Who Sichon, who Arod, who Knan. It's actually all the same. It's actually all the same nation, or all the same army under different names. Marsha explains the reason why the Gemara doesn't want to assume on a Pasha to Pshat, Arod is the name of the city in Eretz Yisrael. So why don't we just say, okay, the people, the king and the people of Arad came and attacked the Jewish people. The reason is because later on we find in Sefer Yehoshua, you have a list over there of 31 kings and their armies that Yehoshua and the Jewish people defeated and killed, and Melech Arad is on the list over there. So therefore, it means that they only conquered and defeated him in Yehoshua's time. Yet here we have, the Torah tells us in Parashas Chukas, that they fought against this Knani Melech Arod and beat them, and Vayachrim Asarehem, they destroyed their cities and renamed the place Chorma. So therefore, so there's no Arod in Yehoshua's times for them to conquer. So it has to be, therefore the Gemara is saying that the Arod we're talking about over here was actually not the city of Arad, the Eretz Yisrael, but rather a nickname for Sichon, as the Gemara is going to say. So why is he called by all those names? Sichon shadoma l'syoch b'midbar. He's called Sichon because he's like a colt, like a young horse running around in the desert, running around freely in the desert. Knan Hashem Malchusay. He's called Knan because of his kingship. Meaning, in other words, we know Marshall points out, we know that Sichon and Og were descendants of the giants from before the Mabul. So they themselves are not Knanim. Knanim come from Chom, which is only later on. Rather, what it is Sichon, who came from the Rishpoim, from the descendants of the people from before the Mabul, he ended up ruling a territory of Knanim. So therefore, he's called Knan, a Knani, Melech Arod, not because he personally was ethnically a Knani, but because his people, his subjects were. And in fact, he's always called Sichon Melech HaEmori. So he himself is not an Emori, but his subjects are Emorim, which is one of the sub-nations of Canaan.
So Sichon is one of the Nephilim.
Yeah, or at least with the descendant of one of the Nephilim. Yeah.
So he, but those came before the Mabul?
So they were before the Mabul, and then they, and then so Sichon and Oig, according to that, both survived the Mabul. There's different other opinions about the Medrash. So Oig held on. Sichon, it doesn't say, but there is actually a Medrash that says somewhat differently, that says that Sichon was actually Chum, that it was actually the son of Chum's wife. She was Mizaneh with one of these Bneha that came from before the Mabul, and had then, and Sichon was born afterwards. But whatever, the point is that he himself is not a Canaan, because the nation of Canaan only came into existence later. So Umashmoy, Arod Shmoy, and his real name is Arod. That's one way. Ikadamni, another version is the other way around. Arod Shadomila Arod Bamidbar. He's nicknamed Arod because he was like an Arod, like a wild donkey in the desert. Again, running around freely, very hard to tame. Knan Ashemacho. So again, he's called Knan because he ruled over a country of Knanim. Umashmoy, Sichon Shmoy. And according to that second opinion, his real name was Sichon. In any case, that justifies saying that Haknani Melech Arod is Sichon, or Tosfos says, according to the Medrash, it means that they pretended to be Sichon and company, and therefore we see that Sichon was still alive when Aaron passed away. So therefore, getting back to what we were saying before, that means that if Pasuk tells us that Aaron passed away in Av of the 40th year, later on it says Moshe killed Sichon, and then afterwards he started speaking Sefer Devarim, then it means it was in that order. Aaron, then Sichon, then beginning of Sefer Devarim. Therefore, that means again that the Rosh Hashanah, that the when the year turns over as far as years of Yetzias Mitzrayim, can't be Tishrei, because otherwise Av would have been in the 40th year and Shvat already would have been in the 41st year. Okay, the Gemara asks the Emir Rosh Chodesh year, Emir Rosh Hashanah year. Maybe say that the Rosh Hashanah for counting years of Yetzias Mitzrayim is not in Nisan, but rather in year. You could ask why would we even think that it should be? So first of all, of course, you know, we could just say the Gemara is trying to cover all its bases. But on the other hand, you could say, for example, the same way as we said yesterday, that Tosfos said that Tosfos brought an explanation from Rashi that the Obis were born in Nisan, what we call Chodesh Iyar, Chodesh Ziv, because in other words, it's the first complete month in which the Obis were in the world. The same thing you could say over here. Look, I mean, they went out of Mitzrayim, Tesvav Nisan. So you're not going to count Nisan. You're going to count Nisan as the zeroth month, let's say. No, in terms of counting the month, we're going to count Nisan as the first. But in terms of the years, maybe we're going to count the years only beginning from year. Bifrat, also the Gemara does discuss later on how much of a year does there, how many days need to have passed in a year in order for it to be considered a complete year for dinim involving Orla and other such things. There is an opinion that you need 30 days. So in that case, then you don't have from Tesvav Nisan until the end of Nisan, there's only 15 days. So that might justify saying that only beginning with Chodesh year do we start counting the years. And the Gemara says, Lois Sapadai. The answer is Lois Sapadai. If you can't think that, we can demonstrate that year is not when the year turns over. In the first month, which we know the first month definitely is Nisan, in the second year of Yetzias Mitzrayim, on the first day of the month, so Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the second year, Hukam HaMishkan, the Mishkan was set up. Later on you have, in the second year, in the second month, during Iyar, on the 20th of the year, Nala on and Mal Mishkan Eidos, the cloud lifted off from the Mishkan, this is in Parshas Baaloischa, and they start traveling. So, Midikoi ben Nisan, the Kodele Shana Shenis, since Nisan of that year, we're calling the second year, the Koi ben Iyar, the Kodele Shana Shenia, and then we come to Iyar, and it's still the second year, and obviously there we can't say Ein Mokdem Olocha Batorda, because if they first set up the Mishkan in Nisan, then obviously before that there was no Mishkan for the cloud to lift off of. So if Nisan was the second year and Iyar is still the second year, we call the Rosh Hashanah Lav Iyar, who that shows that Rosh Hashanah for Yetzias Mitzrayim cannot be Iyar. And again, all of this is meant to show when does the year of kings begin? Because we said again, we have a hekesh between the years of kings and the years of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Whatever the beginning of one is what the beginning of the other is. So once we demonstrate that the beginning of the year, as far as Yetzias Mitzrayim, is Nisan, then we'll know it's the same thing for kings. So year is out. What about the Emor Rosh Hashanah Sivan? Maybe say that the Rosh Hashanah for Yetzias Mitzrayim is Sivan, And the Pnei Yeshua explains a justification for that would be, because after all, what was the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was Matan Torah, Tavdon HaSalakim Al HaHorah there. So maybe then we should count the years of Yitzias Mitzrayim beginning from then, because that's when the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was accomplished. The answer is Lo Sakhadayda. You can't think that. It says that in the third month of from when they came out of Mitzrayim is when they came to have Sinai and Matan Torah took place. The Im Issa. Now, if you were going to tell me Rosh Chodesh Sivan is the beginning of the year before Yitzias Mitzrayim, Bachodesh Hashlishi Bashana Hashenis will say Sfagamim Abayulay, then it should be calling it the beginning of the second year. It should be calling it in the third month of the second year. Because we would say, in other words, the first year includes the second half of Nisan and all of Iyar, and the second year begins Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Since we don't see that, since it calls it Bachodesh Hashlishi without giving the year, the implication is it was still the first year. So the Gemara asks still Ve'ema Tammuz Ve'ema Av Ve'ema Adar. Still, okay. So now we still have a few possibilities left. It still could be, you could still say the beginning of the year of Yetzias Mitzrayim is Tammuz, is Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, or Rosh Chodesh Av. Everything from Av until Shvat we already excluded because of the whole story with Aaron and Sichon, but you still have left Adar. So conceivably, you could have the year of Yetzias Mitzrayim could begin, let's say, with Tammuz, the Tammuz after Matan Torah, and continues from there. It could begin from Av itself. So let's say, in other words, we could have that Rosh Chodesh Av, when Aaron passed away, is the first day of the 40th year. And then 5 months later, Moshe is speaking Sefer Dvarim, and it's still in the 40th year. Or you could have the beginning of the year for Yitzias Mitzrayim could be Adar. So you'd have so you'd have Av and Shvat are both in the 40th year. And then the next month, Adar, a few days before Moshe passes away, begins the 41st year. Again, what's the logic to say that it should be any of those months? The Pnei Yeshua discusses because, as far as Tammuz and Av, he says, because potentially either of those could have ended up being the month in which the Jewish people enter Eretz Yisrael. We know they said they left Har Sinai on the 20th of Iyar. They went to Kibbutz Atava. They ended up spending a month there. Then what happened was, now ultimately it was really supposed to be Achad also Yom Mechorev, which would take them only 11 days to go from Chorev which is Har Sinai, until Kodesh Barnea, which is the edge of Eretz Yisrael. So one way of looking at it then would have been that they could have even entered in Sivan if they hadn't sent out the Meraglim and delayed things for 40 years, or not Sivan rather. He says they could have then entered in Tammuz. They could have then they arrived in Chatzeros. They arrived in Midbar Paran and Kodesh Barnea, which is where they sent out the Meraglim from at the end of Sivan. They could have then continued from there, and they would have already been in Eretz Yisrael at the beginning of Tammuz, or by the beginning of Tammuz, they would have already been in. Another way of looking at it is after the 40 days of Moshe on Har Sinai the previous year, they could have then gotten going and they would have been there by the beginning of Av. So therefore, that justifies maybe saying that we could count Tammuz or Av respectively as the beginning of the year of Yetzias Mitzrayim. As far as Adar, he says, because even though the Geula itself was in Nisan, they already were told about it. It's almost here already in Adar. It's almost like he compares it to like blossoms of a tree. Like you don't have the actual fruit yet, but you have the blossoms already sprouting in Adar, in the same way that you could say, therefore, that Adar, like they're almost starting to get ready for Yetzias Mitzrayim. When they start the king, that they have to wait till they actually appoint him. That's a good point. Nevertheless, though, at least for a Havam, you know, of the Gemara, it's good enough to assume that maybe we could have counted from Adar. At least we don't have a solid proof against it. So that didn't work to be able to learn it that way. So rather, the Gemara says, Ella Amar Rav Elazar Mechacha. So Rav Elazar says, I have a different proof, a different pasuk, from which we'll see more clearly that the beginning of the year for kings is in Nisan. So we had, before we quoted a pasuk from Malachim that describes when the first Beis HaMikdash was started. Again, the description described it in terms of the years from Yetzias Mitzrayim, the years of Shlomo's reign, and the month it says it was Bachodesh Hasheni, in Bachodesh Ziv, who Bachodesh Hasheni, in the month of Iyar. Now we have a pasuk in Divrei HaYamim that says it somewhat differently. By Yochel Livnei, he began building Bachodesh Hasheni in the second month, Basheni in the second one. Vishnas, and we'll see in a second what this Basheni means. Vishnas Arba Lamalchusa in the fourth year of his reign. So my Sheni, so Rabbi Elazar says, what's that extra word Basheni? Lav Sheni L'Yerach Shemonin Bar Lamalchusa, wouldn't it mean the second month of the counting of his kingship? So in other words, it was not only Chodesh HaSheni counting from Nisan, as in we always count the months numerically from Nisan, but also it was the second month of his of the fourth year of his kingship, meaning that the year of his kingship began in Nisan. The Maskif L'Ravina, Ravina asks on that, why? Ve'em HaSheni B'Chodesh. Maybe B'Sheni means the second day of the month. So it was Beis Iyar when they started. The answer is, M'ken Sheni B'Chodesh B'Hed Yahav Ksibbe. Then it would have said explicitly B'Sheni B'Chodesh. Whenever you have a date like that in the Pasuk, when it gives a month and a day, it always says by Yom Ha whatever. So here it would have said by Yom HaSheni. Or Sheni or B'Sheni B'Chodesh or something to that effect. Okay, what about the Ema B'Sheni B'Shabbos? Maybe Sheni over here means Monday. That is, they began the B'Smikash on Monday. So the Gemara says, first of all, Chodu D'Loi Ashkechan Sheni B'Shabbos Tichtiv. First of all, we don't find that the Torah describes anything that's happening on a Monday or any other day of the week. So Tosfos points out, you do have by Ma'aseh Bereishis, of course, you have by Yehera, by Yerach Yom Sheni. That's different, though, because it doesn't really mean, Yom Sheni over there doesn't really mean Monday, it means the second day of Ma'aseh Bereishis. It was Monday, of course, but that's not why the Pasuk is saying Yom Sheni. It's because it's going in order. This happened on Yom Echad. This the Eibush created on Yom Echad. This is created on Yom Sheni, etc. But it's not meant in terms of telling us things that happen on a day of the week. But other than that, you don't find where the Torah tells us that such and such happened on a certain day of the week. There are, for example, you have in the story of the Mon, where it says over there by Yibayim Ashishi Lokdu Lacha Mishnah. But okay, so Rashi uses the expression. It's not just that the Pasuk doesn't mention days of the week. It's rather, Rashi says, the Hoder Kosov Amacheres Bekra, that the Pasuk repeats and mentions Basheni. In other words, it's one thing. In the story of the Mon, for example, it has to say what happened on Friday, that they all came to Moshe and asked, what's going on? Why do we have a double portion? But when the Pasuk is already giving us a date, as it's doing over here, that they began the Beis HaMikdash in Iyar, there's no reason to mention that we don't find any place else that the Torah should tell us a date together with a day of the week. So therefore, we can assume that here also the Torah is not doing that. With that said, by the way, there's a Pirush on Dibra Yomim attributed to Rashi. Most people say the Chiddush already brings that it's not actually from Rashi. In fact, there's one or two places in it where that Pirush quotes Rashi, so it's clearly not from Rashi himself. Anyway, it actually says, not like our Gemara over here, it brings from Yerushalmi, although we don't seem to find it in the Yerushalmi either, that in fact it does mean B'Sheni, B'Shabbos, it does mean that they started the B'Smikdash on a Monday. However, our Gemara doesn't hold like that. Anyway, so therefore, so first of all, we don't find that it says Sheni B'Shabbos, but oid, and also makish sheni bastro the sheni kama. The fact that it says them back to back, machodesh hasheni basheni, means there's a similarity between them. It's not that one is referring to the number of the month and the other is referring to the day of the week. There's a hekish between them in the sense mas sheni kama chodesh af sheni bastro chodesh. The first basheni obviously means a month. It says machodesh hasheni. Therefore, the second basheni also refers to the number of the month. So not the number of the month in terms of the months of the year, of the calendar year, but rather of, which those we always count from Nisan, but rather we're learning from that it is the second month of the counting of Shloima's regnal years. So therefore, that's where we get, that we start those years from Nisan. Shloima himself, by the way, the Pashtus became king in Sivan because David HaMelech passed away on Shavuos. Okay, he became king very shortly before that because of Adoni Yohu's attempt, etc. But still, it wasn't, the Pashtus, it wasn't as far back as Nisan. So he didn't necessarily become king in Nisan. He may have become king in Sivan, or maybe at least in late Iyar or something. And yet we're counting his years from Nisan. So that's what we see from this pasuk that's calling it Bachodesh Hasheni, the second month, namely Iyar, Basheni, which is also the second month of the fourth year of his reign. So there we go then. So his years are counted from Nisan. So the Gemara says Tanya Kabaseid Rabbi Yochanan. In fact, we learn a bright. So we got into all of this. We said that Rabbi Yochanan had said. So we started on Beis Amud Beis that Rabbi Yochanan said. How do we know we count king's years from Nisan? And he brought the pasuk from Malachim, and then we analyzed it in great detail. So the Gemara says Tanya Kabaseid Rabbi Yochanan. We learn a brisa like Rabbi Yochanan. That brings all these psukim. Minayin shein moinim lahem l'malachim elamin nisen. Shenem avayhi b'shmonim shana v'admei eschana l'tzeis b'nei yisrael me'etz mitzrayim v'gayma. You have the pasuk that mentions together, back to back, the years from Yitzias Mitzrayim and the years of Shlomo's reign. Uchtiv v'yal ha'koyin al hor ha'al pi Hashem v'gayma. And it says that Aaron passed away on Ov. Uchtiv v'yhi b'arboim shana v'ashtar asa chodesh v'gayma. And that Moshe started speaking Sefer Dvorim in the following Shabbat, and we know that it was the following Shabbat, because it says he began speaking Sefer Dvarim after he killed Sichon, and it says that the Knani, which we just said before, was Sichon, came and attacked the Jewish people, and why did he attack? Because the Jewish people were exposed after Aaron passed away. And then it says, you can't say that they begin from Iyar because it describes Iyar as part of the second year still, which began previously in Nisan. So you have, so we said that the Mishkan was put up in Nisan and they traveled in Iyar, and both of those are part of the second year. So that tells us that Iyar is not the beginning of the year for Yitzias Mitzrayim. It says that it was in the third month that in Sivan that Matan Torah took place, and that wasn't the second year. And after we went through all of that discussion, then we had the pasuk from Divrei Yomim by Yochel Livnes, where it says that he built it Basheni. So in other words, so the Braisa goes through, the Braisa encapsulates everything that we just learned in the last omud and a half of Gemara of the sequence of psukim from which we see this whole concept. So Tosfos points out, when we're saying Tanya Kavaseh de Rabbi Yochanan, I mean, it also brings Rabbi Elazar's pasuk as well. Why are we saying it's Davka like Rabbi Yochanan? The reason is because after all, Rabbi Lazar's proof is a good one. But on the other hand, you could argue, still, maybe that was an exception. Maybe Shlomo did become king in Nisan. Maybe it so happens that Shlomo became king in Nisan. So how do we know that in general, that for all the kings, which count from Yitzias Mitzrayim, for that we need Rabbi Yochanan's psukim? So fine, we said that ultimately we can't prove it exclusively from his psukim either, because we could say conceivably that we count from Tammuz or Av or other, but once we see that by Shlomo it's counted from Nisan, and we know there has to be a certain date for all the kings, then we're going to say that it's Nisan for all of them. So that's that. Okay. Amar of Chisda, Lo Shanu Elul Malcha Yisrael. Now all of this only applies to... All of this only applies to Jewish kings, that we count their months from Nisan. When it comes to Goyish kings, their years begin in Tishrei. And then a reason behind it, we mentioned yesterday, there's an idea that we count for Jewish kings from Nisan, because since we became a nation then in Nisan, then therefore we count from that. As opposed to the Goyim, they were going according to Derech HaTeva, the world was created in Tishrei, therefore the years of their kings should begin then. So Shenema, you have a posik that says Divrei Nechemya ben Chachalya. The following are the words of Nechemya ben Chachalya. So you have Sefer Ezra in Tanakh. Originally, there was one long Sefer that included what we call Ezra and what we call Nechemya. Later on, the Goyim split it up and split out Nechemya as a separate Sefer, and that's how we have it in our Tanakhs nowadays. I think I've mentioned before something that the Chidah says about it, a deeper reason why the Eivishter made that happen. Bekitzu, he says that the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, the reason why Nechemya didn't have the schus to have a Sefer named separately after himself. After all, the Nechemya part of that Sefer is even longer than the Ezra part. The Ezra part is less than 300 psukim. The Nechemya part is more than 400. So why isn't the whole Sefer called Nechemya instead of Ezra? And the Gemara gives a few reasons of things that Nechemya didn't do like he was supposed to, which therefore he lost that schus. One of them is because he asked Hashem to credit him for the good things that he had done. Zachra li l'kayla tova, he says several times in the Sefer, because he criticized the people who were before him, the governors of the Jewish people before him, which includes people like Daniel. So there were a couple of different reasons. Anyway, the Chidah says, the Pnimius and Yonim, he brings from an earlier Sefer, I think Sefer Gugulim or something, that Nechemya later on was Nisgalgal in Ram Gamliel, the one who was deposed in favor of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So therefore he went through all that humiliation, The Chiddush says that's good enough reason to say that now already whatever he did was cleaned up, and now he can have a sefer named after him. So that's how it comes out that the Goyim had the idea to divide up those Sfarim, and now we have in our Tanakhs, we have a sefer called Nechemya. Anyway, so it begins, Divrei Nechemya ben Chachalya, Vayhi b'chodesh Kislev Shnas Esrim Gremer, in Kislev of the 20th year, we're going to talk about on Omid Beis, the 20th year of what? So it describes something that he heard then. We're going to bring the psukim in full on Amud Beis. Then later on it says, the beginning of Perek Beis of Nechemya, Vayhi b'chodesh Nisan Shnas Esrim L'Artachshast V'gemer, in Chodesh Nisan of the 20th year of King Artachshast, then happened the next part of the story. So, Midikoy b'Kislev v'Kodel Shnas Esrim, Midikoy b'Nisan v'Kodel Shnas Esrim, since both Kislev and Nisan are described as the 20th year and of King Artachshast, Miklal, the Rosh Hashanah, Lav Nisan, who that shows that Rosh Hashanah for these kings can't be Nisan, otherwise it would have rolled over to the 21st year. So the Gemara asked, Shlema Heyach Mefarashta, Dela Artachshasta. Fine, the one in Perek Beis, it says it was the 20th year of Artachshast. Elahai, but the one in Perek Aleph, Mimai Dela Artachshast, how do we know it means the 20th year of King Artachshast? That was Belshazzar. That was about 20 years ago. No, Belshazzar was the last king of Babel. Artaxerxes is one of the kings of Persia.
That defeated Babel.
Yes.
So he came in because of the writing on the wall.
Yeah, well, he's in, right.
But he's tied to the story.
Right, well, in a way. Right. Okay, so how do we know that it means that Perek Aleph means the 20th year of Artaxerxes? Dumele min yonach rinahu. Maybe it's the 20th year since some other event. I'm a papa. So the papa says, like we learned before, that Shnas Ha'aboyim, Shnas Esrim, the Gzeira Shava. Since one pasuk mentions Shnas Esrim and explains that it means La'artachshast, and the other one does not, then we learn one from the other, Yumat Sosim and Amaferish, Mahosim La'artachshast, Apocha La'artachshast. Both of them are the years of King Artachshast. And therefore, so it didn't roll over in Nisan. Therefore, that shows that Nisan is not the Rosh Hashanah. Now, granted, Tosfos says the Gemara could have gone through now. Still, it could be any of the months in between. But we're going to assume once we say that it's not going to be Nisan, then there's no particular reason to think that it should be any other random month. But Pashtus, we're going to assume it's Tishrei, that Bar Nivra Olam. Okay. Now the question is, when my demise of the Kislev Kodim, how do we know that the event that happened in Kislev came first? Duma Maisa de Nisan Kodim. Maybe, again, in Muktamam Ochavatoda. So maybe the events of Perek Beis, they will come before Perek Aleph. So in Nisan, something happened. And then later on, although it's written out of order, in Kislev, something happened. So Adarabah, that would show that Tishrei is not the Rosh Hashanah for them. The answer is Lois Sakadait. You can't think that way. In Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, clarifying the Psukim. Dvorim Sha'omer Chanoni L'Nechemya B'Kislev Amorim Nechemya L'Melech B'Nissen. The same things that Chanoni came and told Nechemya in Nissen about what's going on in Eretz Yisrael and what's going on in Yerushalayim, that is what Nechemya went and told the king in Nissen a few months later. So Shenemar, it starts off like this. Let's bring the Pesukim in full. Divrei Nechemya ben Chachalya, the following the words of Nechemya. It happened in Kislev of the 20th year, which, as we said, means the 20th year of King Artaxerxes. I was in the capital city of Shushan, which was the capital of that whole dynasty, Daryavash and Kodesh, and all around Achashverosh. Chanoni, echad me'achai. Chanoni, one of my brothers, it could be an actual brother, it could just mean a fellow Yid, whatever, he came. Huva Noshim Yehuda, he and some other people came from Yehuda. Vo'esh Olem, and I asked them, Ala Yehudim Apleita Shenishurim Nashevi, about the Jewish people, about the remnant, the escapees that are left over from the captivity. In other words, they've been captured and taken into Babel. And Marsha points out, there's a Gemara in Bava Basra that says of all the different fates that a person could suffer in Golos, being taken captive is the worst of them. Like you have, a person could be killed by the sword, a person could starve, a person could whatever, but to be taken into captivity is the worst because a person could end up suffering from any of the above. His captor could decide to kill him, could decide to starve him, etc. Therefore, that's why Nehemiah uses the expression over here, and he's concerned about the Jewish people who are left from the Shevi, from the captivity. How are they doing? Did they manage to make it through okay? About Yerushalayim and about what's going on, about how things are in the city of Yerushalayim. By Yomruli, so Hanani and the other people told me, Hanish Orim Ashenishurim and Ashvi Shamba Medina the Rogdola, the people who are left over there, who are left over from the captivity, who came to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the second Mikdash, they are there in the city of Yerushalayim and in the country, the Rogdola, they're in a very bad situation. And in a way where the surrounding Goyim are mocking them. The wall of Yerushalayim is breached because it had been breached at the time of the Churban and it still hadn't been rebuilt. And its gates had been burnt in fire. So in other words, what's going on is that the Jewish people, Jews living in Yerushalayim, but they're exposed all the time to the Goyim can walk in any time through the breaches in the wall and through the destroyed gates and attack them, and therefore they're in a very bad way. So Hanani and company told that to Nehemiah in Kislev. And then Amora Nehemiah Lamalach ben Nissen. Then later on, Nehemiah told this over to the king in Nissen. Shenema by Hebrew Chodesh Nissen Shnas Esrim LaTachshas Melech. In Nissen of the 20th year of King Artachshas, Yayin Lefonav. There was wine before him. Nehemiah was the Saramashkin. He was Artachshas's cupbearer. In fact, the Medrash brings a very interesting thing on it. There are a number of places throughout Ezra and Nehemiah where Nehemiah is called with the nickname Hatushasa. So what is Hatushasa? So the Ebenezer says it's a Persian government title, but the Yerushalmi actually explained that it comes from the word hitir shasa, which means a heter to drink. Usually you're not allowed to drink yayin nesach, so wine that's served to Artachshasa is yayin nesach, but the Chachamim gave him a special heter. We know a sara mashkim, of course, is going to have to take a sip of the wine before he gives it to the king, so he can demonstrate it's not poison. So they gave him a special heter to do that, so that he could be a minister, so that he could be a cupbearer to Artachshasa and be in a position to intercede with him on behalf of the Jewish people, as in fact he did in these psukim. So they gave him that special heter. So now Yayin Lefonav, there was wine before him. V'esor asa Yayin. So Nehemiah says, I picked up the wine, v'etna l'melech, and I gave it to the king. V'loy ha'yisi ra Lefonav. Now I had never been bad in front of him. In other words, I always made sure to have a cheerful face on when I go to see the king. Because you don't want you go to the king with a frown on your face, he's gonna start suspecting that you're plotting against him or something. But this time apparently Nehemiah couldn't hold back. So by Yomeliyah Melech Madua Panecha Royim. So the king asked me, why is your face looking bad? It looks like something wrong. But after Ein Chachola, you're not sick. It must be a badness of heart. In other words, you're plotting against me. Well, you don't have him. I was very afraid I could get in big trouble for that. Which Marsha explains what was going on over here is, again, we said Nehemiah usually was allowed to drink the wine before he offered it to Artachshasa. But now what happened was, ever since Kislev, when he got the news of how bad things are in Eretz Yisrael, so the Pasuk goes on to say there that he was fasting and davening to Hashem to help the Jewish people and give him an opportunity to be able to intercede with Artachshasa. So now in Nissan, apparently it was the first time since Kislev that he had an opportunity to be serving Artachshasa. I guess they had a rotation of different people, I don't know, whatever it is. So he this time didn't taste the wine because he'd still made a neder. He was fasting, or at least he had made a neder to swear off wine. So now the king is asking, what's going on? All of a sudden, you're not tasting the wine. Yeah, what are you plotting over here? You don't have him. I was very afraid. So I said to the king, King, may you live forever. Why should my face not look bad? Why shouldn't I look sad? The city, which is the place where my ancestors are buried, Nehemiah is descended from the kings of Yehuda, who are buried in Yerushalayim, so the city where my ancestors are buried, Chareva, is destroyed, Usharea Uklu Ba'esh, and gates have been burnt in fire. Which, by the way, Uklu, which means like consumed, is a stronger word, Marshal explains, than Nitsu, which just means set on fire. So in other words, he's telling Artachshasa things are really, really bad over there. So the king says to me, okay, what exactly are you asking for? Fine, you're telling me you're upset. What do you want me to do about it? So I dive into the Eibishter, which can mean, as Ebenezer says, previously, before he had his audience with the king, he had previously dived into the Eibishter. It can mean that right now, when he's speaking to the king, and he's going to say, Imal HaMelech Toiv, then he's speaking like a double meaning. He's speaking to the king, but he has in mind the real king, the Eibishter. I said to the king, good in the king's eyes, and if your servant, meaning I, am favorable in your eyes, Asher tishlacheni el Yehuda, you should send me to Yehuda, el Kiris Abayisai, to the city where my ancestors are buried, the Evnena, so I can build it. Vayomeli HaMelech, the passage continues, the king says to me, Vashegal Yesheves Etzloi, the Shegal was sitting next to him, and we're going to talk tomorrow what a Shegal is. Ad Masa Yemalachva, how long are you going to be going? Or Masai Toshuv, and when do you plan to be back? And I told him, the king did like the idea, and he sent me, and I told him a certain time by which I'm going to be back. And sure enough, he went to Yerushalayim and rebuilt the walls over there.
When were the walls destroyed?
The walls were destroyed at the time of the Churban. So now, the Churban was long earlier. So the Churban was long earlier. So okay, so here's where actually, so we can refer to these little charts that I made up over here to orient ourselves a little bit as far as the years. For our purposes, here it has been. So I didn't put over here the Churban is long before any of these events. The Churban was in the year 3338, which is 50 odd years before this chart begins. So let's start with, you have 52 years after the Churban, Kodesh becomes king. This is a year after Babel had been defeated and destroyed. So Aaron, you were mentioning Belshazzar. That was the year before this. That was in 3389, is when they saw the handwriting on the wall. And that night, Belshazzar was defeated and killed, and the Babylonian Empire was over. Malchus Babel was over. The Persians took over. First he had Dariush for a year, then he had Kodesh took over. Kodesh announces that they can go rebuild, they can go to Yerushalayim, they can go to Eretz Yisrael and rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. 47,000 Jews go, and they start. What happens is, the Pesukim describe in Sefer Ezra, the local Goyim and the Kusim and whatever harassed them and mastered on them and got Kodesh to rescind the permission. So for the next 18 years, the work on the Beis Hamikdash was interrupted. They had gotten as far as laying the foundations, but that was it. During that time, by the way, is when the story of Purim happened. You can notice over here on the chart, the story of Purim happened during those 18 years. It helps show you, by the way, when we talk about Haman accused the Jewish people, Yoshnu and Amitzvahs, they're sleeping, they're not doing mitzvahs, therefore we have a chance to get them where we didn't before. This is during a time, you have to remember, everybody's emunah was under tremendous strain. What do you mean? We're given permission to build the Beis Hamikdash. Now it was rescinded. Is it ever going to be built? Are we ever going to have a geula? So the fact that they had Mesiras Nefesh, the famous Mesiras Nefesh, that the Alter Rebbe points out that for an entire year, after Haman's Zera, they could have evaded it by converting to another religion, and yet not one Yid did that. That shows that the Amuna that they had, even at that very difficult time. Anyway, shortly after that, Achashverosh died, Dariush took over. Now, for our purposes, what we have here is, you can see over here, there's two different opinions when the story with Nehemiah happened. So Tosfos says like this, when we say that it was the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the Gemara is going to explain soon that Artaxerxes is not the actual name of the king, it's a title. Just like we had on Amud Aleph, that Hu Knan, Hu Arad, Hu Sichon, the same way the Gemara is going to say over here that Artaxerxes is a title for the kings of Persia. So now, when we say the 20th year that all of this happened, the 20th year since what? So the first possibility, Tosfos says, is that it means the 20th year of Kodesh. So even though Kodesh himself is long dead, we're counting when he became king and made that announcement, that begins a new era, and we count 20 years from now. So according to that, it would come out, you have over here shortly before that, in Elul and Tishrei, shortly before that, is when the Nevi'im had told the Jewish people to start, it's time to start rebuilding the second Beis Hamikdash. It's 70 years since the Churban, the Gzeira is over, and sure enough, shortly afterwards, Dariush was told about it, and he gave permission to go ahead. They found Kodesh's original proclamation, and Dariush said, fine, I'm going to honor it, you can go ahead and continue building. So according to Tosfos's first possibility, a couple of months after that, while they're still building the Beis Hamikdash, then Nehemiah heard what's going on, and he heard that the walls of Yerushalayim are still destroyed because they only got permission to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, and he's concerned about it, and he goes and asks Artaxerxes for permission to go there and supervise the rebuilding of the walls as well. That's Tosfos's first possibility. Tosfos's second possibility is no. The 20th year counts from when Dariush became king, which is 17 or 18 years after Kodesh became king. So according to that, the Beis Hamikdash was finished. You can see over here, Adar 3, 4, 1, 12, the Beis Hamikdash was completed. But even so, according to that, it means they completed the Beis Hamikdash. They're now doing the Avodah in it, but the rest of Yerushalayim was still not surrounded by a wall, so therefore they're in tremendous danger. They're still, the people living in the rest of the city are still in tremendous danger of the Goyim all the time, until finally, many years later, according to that second possibility, in 3426, finally, Nehemiah is informed of what's going on, and he asks the Yavash for permission to go rebuild the walls. But in any case, yes. So according to the first possibility in Tosfos, when Nehemiah asked about it, the walls had been destroyed for a little over 70 years, because they were destroyed in the Churban in 3338, and now is 3409. According to the second possibility, it was even longer. It was close to 90 years that the walls were destroyed, from 3338 until 3426. Okay, anyway. So the point is, in other words, so we see it has to be in that order, that first Nehemiah heard from Hanani in Perek Aleph, then, and that was in Kislev, then in Perek Beis, in Nisan, he reports this to Artachshasta, and he gives him permission to go. So therefore we see that Kislev comes before Nisan in Artachshasta's 20th year, and Artachshasta being a Goy, then that means that the years of Goyish kings count from Nisan. So the Gemara says, Masiv Rav Yosef, so not from Nisan, from Tishrei rather, from Tishrei. So therefore between Kislev and Nisan, the year hasn't rolled over. Massive Rav Yosef, but Rav Yosef says, I have a contradiction. Let's look at some other dates that happened during Dariavash's rule. In these charts, by the way, I bolded and underlined all the dates that we're mentioning here in the Gemara, so we don't confuse them. The other ones are just there in order to orient us. So the Pasuk says that they started, again, the Nevi'im were encouraging the Jewish people to start rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, even before they got official permission to continue. So again, they had the original permission from Kodesh. It had been rescinded. Now, 18 years later, the Nevi'im, Chagai, Tzchariah, and Malachi, in particular Chagai, the Pesukim Marseille, in particular, it says Chagai and Tzchariah, were telling them, go ahead, start rebuilding. It's time. Don't worry about that you don't have permission from Dariavash yet. You'll get it. So the Pasuk says, V'yom Esrim Rabbah L'Chodesh Bashishi V'Shnat Shtayim L'Dayavash. On the 24th of Elul, in the second year of Dayavash, is when they restarted the work on rebuilding the second Beis Mikdash. And actually, Tosfos says, the Pasuk doesn't actually say explicitly what they did then, but the previous Pasuk says, Vayavoyo Vayasa Malacha, they came and started doing work, and then it says, then a new parasha, you have a parasha stoma over there, and then it says, V'yayim Esrim Rabbah L'Chodesh, so even though there's a parasha stoma there, it's referring back, when did they begin that work? On the 24th of Elul of the second year of Dayavash. Rashi actually mentions also, it doesn't actually say Vishnas Shtayim, but earlier at the beginning of Chagai, it says Vishnas Shtayim, and all this is continuing from there, so it means it was the second year. Uchtiv, then the next Pasuk in, say, in Chagai continues, Vashvi, in the seventh month, which is Tishrei, Vishnas Shtayim, okay, it didn't say in the Pasuk Vishnas Shtayim, Ve'esrim Ve'echa Bachodesh, on the 21st of Tishrei, so Hashanah Rabbah, then it says Chagai was given a Nevuah by Hashem to further encourage the Jewish people. By now, they've been working on the rebuilding of the Mikdash for almost a month, because we said they started Chavdal Re'el. So now, on Chavdal of Tishrei, Chagai got a Nevuah where Hashem is encouraging them to continue and that they're going to be successful. Again, remember, this is before they even got the official permission from Dariavash. So V'im Issa, now if you're telling me that Goyish king's years count from Tishrei, Vashvi Vishnat Gimelim Boilei, by the time Tishrei comes, Rosh Hashanah comes, the year rolls over, the Pasuk should say it was the third year. Instead, we're still talking about the second year. So that means we don't count them from Tishrei. Amar Rav Abahu, the answer is, Rav Abahu says, Kodesh, Melech Kosher Haya, the answer is Kodesh was a Kosher king, and in fact, that's why he was called Kodesh, Melosh and Kosher, as in you have the Pashtus, of course, he was called Kodesh, because that means something in Persian or whatever, but the Gemara is explaining, why do we call him in the Pesukim Kodesh? It's because like the word Kosher with the letters rearranged. As you have, sometimes you have words in Latin like that in Lashon Kodesh, Keves and Kesev, for example, Simla and Salma, other such words like that, where you switch around the letters and it still means the same thing. It was called Kodesh because of Melech Kosher, Lefichach Manu Loik Malcha Yisrael. Therefore, they counted his years as if he was a Jewish king, and they counted his years in Nisan. So yeah, therefore, so it doesn't roll over between, so it doesn't roll over from Elul to Tishrei, it's all still in the second year. That's what you have over here then, that you have over here in Elul of 3408, in Tishrei of 3409, and the Nevi'im tell the Jewish people to start the rebuilding, and eventually Dariavash gives permission. It was all of that was in Dariavash's second year. Mask Yitzhar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, I have two problems with that. Choda de imken kosher kroya hadori. First of all, if you're telling me that the years of Kodesh roll over in Nisan and not in Tishrei, then you have a contradiction in the Pesukim. Dichtiv, because the Pesuk goes on to say, so they built the second Bais Mikdash, the Sheitzi Bais Adina, they completed this house, the Bais Mikdash, Ad Yom Tlosa L'Yirach Adar, by the third day of Adar, the Hishnas Sheis L'Malchus Daryavash Malka, which was the sixth year of King Daryavash. So it took them 4 years approximately to finish once they restarted, again, based on the foundations that they had built already back in Kodesh of time, then it took them about 4 years, 3.5 or 4 years, to complete the Bais Mikdash. So that brings us to Adar 3412. We're saying that's the sixth year of Daryavash. Matanya, we learn in a brisa, but oisei zman l'shana haba, about that time the following year, Ola Ezra mi'bavel v'galusa imei, Ezra left Bavel together with his group to come to Eretz Yisrael. Why were they not there, by the way, for the building of the Bais Mikdash? The Gemara tells us in Megillah, because we see from that learning Torah is even more important than building the Bais Mikdash. Ezra's Rebbe, who was Ezra's Rebbe, Baruch ben Neriah, the Talmud of Yirmiyah, was still alive, and Ezra didn't want to leave as long as Baruch was still alive. Baruch himself couldn't make it. He was too old and weak. He never would have survived the trip to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, he remained in Babel, and Ezra continued learning by him until he passed away, and only then did Ezra start gathering a group together to go to Eretz Yisrael and strengthen the community over there. Nechemiah's student? No, so Ezra is Baruch ben Neriah's student. Baruch ben Neriah is Yirmiyahu's student. Again, based by the way, on the two possibilities in Tosfos. Again, if we look in the chart over here, either Nehemiah had come to Eretz Yisrael a few years before that, he was already there in 3409, and Ezra only comes in 3413, or the other way around, that Ezra came first and Nehemiah came several years later. Again, it depends on what you mean by the 20th year in the Pesuk, whether it was the 20th year of the original Kodesh or of Daryavash. Anyway, so Ezra left Babel about that time the following year, Nisan of 3413. So a little over a year after the Bais Mikdash was finished. Uchtiv, and the Pasuk says, Vayava Yerushalayim b'chodesh ha-chamishi. He came to Yerushalayim in the fifth month, which is of, he shnas ha-shviyas b'melech, which is still the seventh year of the king. So in other words, when he left Babel in Nisan, it was already the seventh year. It was, because the year after the sixth year was the seventh year. He comes to Yerushalayim, and it's still the seventh year. So we see that the year does not roll over in Nisan, otherwise it would already be the eighth year. The im is a shnasa shminis mevayulei. If the year rolls over in Nisan, then it should already be the eighth year. Fine, you would say, in other words, he left. So the Bais Mikdash was completed in the sixth year in Adar. Then a month later in Nisan begins the seventh year. A month later, a year after that, in Nisan of the following year, Ezra sets out from Babel. That would really be the beginning of the eighth year. And he comes to Yerushalayim and still during the eighth year. And instead, we're calling it the seventh year. So first of all, that's one problem, says Rabbi Yosef. But oid mi dummy. Also, how are you comparing it anyway? Hasim Kodesh ha Daryavash. You're saying Kodesh melech kasher haya, but here we're talking about the years of Daryavash. So the answer is Tana. We learn in a brisa, who Kodesh, who Daryavash, who Adachshasta. They all have the same name. Now, what we mean is, in other words, there was the original Kodesh, the one who allowed the Jewish people to return to Eretz Yisrael back in 3390. Now, what the Gemara is saying, though, that the same name, Kodesh, was also applied to Daryavash, the son of Achshverosh. So he's also called Kodesh. So Kodesh Shemelech Kosher Haya, he was called Kodesh because he was a kosher king. In other words, the name Kodesh was given to any king of Persia who was kosher. So it was given to the original Kodesh because he allowed them to go. And now it was given to this Daryavash in tribute to the fact that he also allowed them to continue the rebuilding. So he's called Kodesh because of that. Artachshas al Shem Malchusei. He's called Artachshas because that was the royal title. So just like, for example, all the kings of Egypt are called Paroi, and all the kings of Plishtim are called Avimelech and so forth. So all the kings of Persia can be called Artachshas. Or Mashmo Daryavashmoy, and his real name is Daryavash. So yes, we can justify and say that his years began, that because he was a Melech Kosher, therefore we count his years from Nisan. But Mikol Mokum Kasher, but you still have the problem with years of the completion of the bit. So that explains, in other words, again, with Chagai's Nevuah, how it is that Chagai's Nevuah, that the people going and starting to build of this Mikdash in Elul and Chagai encouraging them in Tishrei is both in the second year, because the year didn't roll over in Tishrei, it rolled over in Nisan instead. But then you have the problem with the years involving the completion of the Bais Mikdash and Ezra coming to Eretz Yisrael. But the answer is, Amar Rav Yitzchok, Kasha, Kan Kodim Shehechmitz, Kan La'achar Shehechmitz. There was before he went sour and afterwards. In other words, early in his reign, he was a kosher king. Therefore, they counted his years as if he was a Jewish king from Nisan. But later on, he soured, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara tomorrow, where we see that. And then they said, then the Chachamim said, in that case, we're going back to counting him like any other goyish king from Tishrei.
That way,
we're going to want to see about that tomorrow, yeah. But an interesting point is that, though, that if we're talking about Jehoyavash over here, the son of Achashverosh and Esther, his mother, Esther, is a Jewish woman. So then he himself is a Yid. So what are we talking about counting him like a Goyish king and a Hechmetz and not Hechmetz? He's a Yid either way. So there's a few interesting possibilities about that. One possibility is, yeah, he himself is a Jew, but he's ruling over a Goyish country. He's ruling over a Goyish empire. Therefore, we can still talk about counting him like a Goyish king versus a Jewish one. There's a couple of other very interesting answers. First of all, there's a Zohar that says, now how is it that Esther, the Tzedekah, should have to be together with the Rosh HaAchashverosh? So the Gemara says, yes, as a matter of fact, that she was still married to Mordechai, so she would sneak out every so often and go to the mikveh and be together with Mordechai, and only by Kasher Abadi Abadi, when she has to go voluntarily to HaAchashverosh, then she becomes Osir to Mordechai. So according to that, then it means that Taka she ended up having a child with Achshverosh, who is this Dalyabesh. However, the Zohar actually says that not, that there was a shed that would come in the disguise of Esther and would come to Achshverosh. So according to that, then not necessarily is Dalyabesh the son of Esther. In that case, his mother might have been a shed, or it might have been one of Achshverosh's other wives. And in that case, then he's not a Yid anyway. There is an even more interesting answer. We always say, we always learn from childhood on, that the child of a Goyish father and a Jewish mother is a Yid for every purpose. It's actually not so simple. There are Rishonim like this. You have a Machloikas in the Gemara, in Yevamos and some other places. Goy ve'eved abo'a bas Yisrael. The Machloikas is whether the child is a Mamzer or whether he's kosher. Now, the halacha is that he's kosher. However, Rashi and Tosfos in some places say maybe kosher for this purpose means kosher as a goy. In other words, he's a goy, but if he ever becomes a ger, he doesn't have to worry about mamzerus. He'll be allowed to marry a bas yisrael. Whereas if he said mamzer, it would mean that he has that even after he becomes a ger, he still has the taint of mamzerus. So that's one possibility.
So
according to that,
the Jewish mother
right. So now the halacha is not like that. The accepted halacha is like the Rambam and other Rishonim that say that kosher means kosher without question. But right. So Rashi doesn't have fine. And not, I mean, Rashi is allowed to have his own opinion. He's a Rishon. Other Rishonim disagree with him. You have also something very interesting that the Maharit Al-Ghazi, who is an Akron, says on this. He says that when you have a child that was born from a Goyish father and a Jewish mother, It's not necessarily like Rashi and Tosfos are saying that he's absolutely a goy, but the Maharit Al-Ghazi says it depends how he's raised. If he's raised as a Yid, then he's considered a Yid. If he's raised as a goy, he's considered a goy. Again, the halacha is not like that either, but nevertheless, there is such an opinion. So all Gemara then could fit with any of those opinions. Potentially, we could say that Dalyabesh, even if he really is Esther's biological son, potentially, you could say, like Rashi and Tosfos, all that means he's a kosher goy. If he ever became a ger, he would be able to marry a bat Yisrael, but up till that point, he's a goy. Or like the Maharit Al-Ghazi, that since he was raised as a goy, and he was the crown prince of Persia, after all, he was perhaps raised in their ways, and according to the Maharit Al-Ghazi, that would also make him a goy. Again, we have to stress, this is absolutely not the halacha as accepted. So when we see, unfortunately, Meisim B'chol Yom, that we meet up with people that have such parentage, and we know that they're 100% Jews without any question halacha, because that's how the halacha has been determined. But nevertheless, all Gemara goes according to one, could go according to one of these possibilities. Or again, like we said, it could just be he is in fact a Jew, la halacha. However, since he's ruling over a Goyish country as a Goyish king, then we're talking about him in terms of a Goyish king. Okay, so we'll talk tomorrow. We'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, where we see that this Dalyabesh eventually went bad to the extent where now he lost the privilege of having his years counted like Jewish kings. So we're going to have several things that Gemara is going to talk about tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Shabbat shalom, everyone.